Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Now, the World Health Organization said today it has delivered 1.2 million doses of the polio vaccine to Gaza. The initiative follows the reporting of the first case of the childhood disease in the territory in a quarter of a century. Vaccinations are due to begin on Sunday and will be accompanied by three-day pauses in fighting in several areas of Gaza. Well, for the very latest in all of this, we're joined now live from central Gaza by UNRWA spokesperson Sam Rose. And Sam, you're welcome. This is a huge undertaking. 1.2 million doses ready to go, 400,000 to follow, and 640,000 children due to be inoculated. How do you expect this to be rolled out?
Yeah, indeed, it is a massive effort involving thousands upon thousands of people. The vaccines have come in, the refrigeration equipment has come in. We will receive the vaccines at UNRWA distribution centres tomorrow and we'll be ready to go, all being well, at 6 o'clock on Sunday morning. Now, as you mentioned in your report, this is a staggered approach. We will start in the middle area of the Gaza Strip. Then after 3 or potentially 4 days, depending on how the campaign goes, we will move to southern Gaza for a similar period of time. And then finally in the north. And this is just the first phase in the vaccination rollout. Children, and this is all children under 10, we hope will receive the vaccine, will then receive a second dose, and this is 2 drops on the tongue, in about 4 weeks' time. Very complicated, even in normal circumstances, particularly complicated right now, given everything that's going on in Gaza.
And of course, time is of the essence in this instance, isn't it?
I mean, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we've seen the first confirmed case of polio in 25 years. Gaza had a very, very good, very high rate of vaccination coverage. UNRWA would vaccinate 99% of all children every single year in the run-up to this war. And it's the war and the conditions that people are living in. It's the attacks and the destruction of the health system and the drop in coverage. But it's also the sanitation, it's the sewage, it's the garbage, it's the conditions that people are living in. And indeed, they are ripe for a disease like this. And if it were to spread, it would be catastrophic for children in Gaza, but also beyond if it spreads outside.
Of course, this is all dependent, the success of this rollout, on the IDF adhering to those three-day pauses in fighting in the areas where they say they'll do that. Have you concerns that those pauses will hold?
I mean, these are pauses by both sides to the conflict. This has been a negotiated agreement as far as we understand. I mean, we have some concerns because we've seen throughout the conflict that areas declared as safe zones have not been safe. They have been subject to bombardment. But right now, given the seriousness of this, we have to plan for the fact that it will be respected. And it's delicate. And it will be looked at on a day-by-day, hour-by-hour basis. But we have to hope that despite everything that's happened over the past 11 months, there is enough humanity on all sides to make this work. And I'd say as well that the safe zones don't cover the entire area of the Gaza Strip. They're largely on the western part of Gaza. There are areas outside those safe zones. And right now, we're spending a lot of time figuring out how to get the vaccines to the children inside those parts of the Gaza Strip. But yeah, we have to hope that the pauses will hold.
You mentioned that the final area that you'll be trying to cover will be the north of Gaza. And we know that that has been the most badly hit, that there's been huge food shortages, medical shortages there, as there has been in the rest of Gaza also, but that has been the worst hit. Will there be any attempt or effort or ability, do you think, to try and get other sorts of aid that perhaps hasn't been able to reach the north of Gaza while you have those three-day pauses?
I mean, we try several times a week to bring aid into northern Gaza. Those efforts oftentimes, as you said, are not successful. We need not just vaccines to make a vaccination campaign work. We need fuel for the generators, for the fridges and things like that. We need personnel and supervisors to come in. But right now, the focus is really on getting the vaccination campaign done. It will be more difficult in the north for the reasons that you mentioned, but we will have already had the experience and gone through the campaign in the middle and the southern area of Gaza. One of the issues we actually have in the north is knowing how many people are there.
Mm.
It's been very, very difficult to estimate accurately the population in the north of Gaza, the records of people killed, but also the records of people underneath the rubble. So that's a key challenge that we have all over Gaza, but particularly in the north, because we need to reach about 90% of all children under 10 if the campaign is to be successful.
And of course, then it's further to that point, this is further complicated by the fact these vaccines have to be administered twice. So how do you make sure that you find the children that you vaccinated once to give them that second vaccine, particularly with all the displacement that we're seeing?
Absolutely. I mean, we have a fairly sophisticated, or we had a fairly sophisticated medical system inside Gaza, largely at the primary healthcare level, through decades and decades of investment in UNRWA's systems. Those systems have come under massive pressures and massive strains in the past 10, 11 months, but they are still functioning. And as part of the campaign, as well as vaccinators, we are hiring, and we have hired, community mobilizers to get the message out, but also registrars. So there'll be registration clerks at every vaccine that's administered, recording the details of the children who are vaccinated, and also putting ink on, I believe it's the little finger, so that ink that lasts for 10 days' time, so that over the course of the campaign, we will be able to track who has been vaccinated and who hasn't. And of course, we'll be taking stock at the end of every day. All the organizations involved in this will be doing the counts, will be doing the reconciliations every day. But yeah, as you said, it's a massive challenge given the status of the ground and the conditions in which people are living, but also the fact that people remain on the move all the time.
All right, Sam Rose from UNRWA, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Now, after the break, the ladies not for returning. What happened to the portrait of Margaret Thatcher in Downing Street?